And we are back with Bronwyn and Jamie, who are our financial educators, our wealth educators, two women who walked the walk of not knowing what to do with your money, perhaps even reaching out for help. And you were told, sorry, you don't have enough money for me to even help you, which is frankly disgusting. We should live in a society where we can support each other and help each other. And I love that you are doing that. You are paying it forward by helping people of all ages and stages of life. And you empower women specifically, which I love. But let's keep our questions. Let's jump back in and keep them on the that thought process of what can we do to be managing our money? What can we do to prepare? Specifically, as we are looking down the road, none of us want a catastrophe to happen. How do we make sure that we have emergency funds in place, especially if we outlive our money? How do we take care of ourselves and how do we take care of our loved ones? Can you talk to us about that a bit?
Yeah. So what's crazy right now in America, the number one fear is outliving money. Ooh. And now more than ever, we're seeing grandmas and grandpas sitting in front of grocery stores, greeting people when they come in, not because they're bored, but because they don't have a choice.
Yes.
And so their kids don't even know what they're doing with their money because mom's now sitting there and having to work till the day she dies. And if we can stop that in our country, there's going to be a massive shift.
Yeah.
And so how we do that is when we sit down with individuals and their families, we go over what's called your financial independence number. Your
financial, I'm going to stop you and have you say it again.
Financial independence number.
Okay, yes. What is that?
FIN numbers. So we joke all the time that we grow up knowing our social security numbers. Mm-hmm. We know our driver's license numbers. We know our birth date.
Sure.
But nobody tells us what our FIN numbers are. So financial independence number.
I couldn't tell you what mine is. So educate me.
So what we do is we sit down and we go over information and we figure out how much that chunk of money you need sitting through retirement of 20 to 25 years after you retire at 65. On average, we pass on from this life at 85. Well, what is that chunk sitting there for the amount we need paying us an income every single month until we pass on? So when we have that number, us as the financial educators can go and make sure where can we now go through your life and make sure we're getting the interest rates we need, make sure that we're growing that money to the speed that we need it to. And of course, starting younger is key, but not everybody has had that educational opportunity. It's never too late to start. Just start. And so finding out that FIN number is a massive piece of going towards financial independence and not outliving that money.
Yeah. And when you talk about fear and Americans being afraid of outliving their money, often when we are afraid of things, we just don't face them at all.
Correct.
We bury our head in the sand, we ignore. When you ladies have had conversations with people that are tough, and let's say that they're nowhere near to having enough money to retire and they need to retire, what's the transformation that you see take place emotionally? Where are they when they come in and start with you? And where are they when you guide them and give them, empower them with information?
So I'm actually going to have Jamie answer this one because since she's come into the industry this last year, the amount of families that she's been able to change their lives and give them light at the end of the tunnel. With obviously me training you, it's been so fun to watch someone new in the industry just be in awe from these stories. So
yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think our money is so emotional to us, right?
Yes.
Like if we were to have somebody steal $500 from our wallet or purse right now, we would have
We'd be freaking out.
Right? We would have some big emotions. So it is amazing to be able to, one, show them hope and show them light at the end of the tunnel, right? I mean, we have sat down with so many families that I truly think they were hopeless, right? They they felt like they had just gotten so far behind. There was no way out of this. Right.
Yeah.
And then secondly, as we go through, you know, the steps here, because they are very small steps that we're building on, right? To see kind of that weight lifted off of them and for them to realize that, you know, we're not magicians, but at the end of the day, we are there for every step of the way with them. And our job is really to alleviate the stress that they're feeling and show them their goals are attainable, right? So I would love to share one of my clients recently.
Please share a story.
We sat down with a gentleman that had been working at his company for about 8 years, And he had never, you know, he started there. They said, here's your 401k paperwork. Mm-hmm. And he signed the dotted line.
As everybody
and
does.
He had
not
never,
looking at it. Just, oh, I'm supposed to do this. Let me give it back to HR.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He had never even logged into his 401k until we prompted him. And we were actually able to sit down with him and look at the accounts within his 401k, which, by the way, we don't even know what that stands for generally. It's just the tax code,
right?
Right.
Right.
The tax code.
None of us would get that Jeopardy question right. Head scratcher on. What is? I'm not sure.
So we sat down with him. We looked at these accounts. And for 8 years, he's been making roughly 1%. On the money sitting in his 401k.
And give our listeners some perspective about 1% good, bad.
1% is atrocious.
Yes.
And
well, you're getting that in your standard traditional savings account at your bank. So you may as well just have your money sitting there.
Yes. So it was somewhere it was supposed to be exponentially more making him money, but it could have just been sitting in his checking account.
Well, what are you going to do with 1% at retirement?
Yeah. Right.
Nothing.
So when we looked at the history of that and we looked at what the capabilities were, on average, he had the potential to be making about 8 to 10% each year that he was just leaving on the table, right?
Was he mortified when he found out?
He was, because when we looked back over it, there was 1 year that he could have made 35% return on his money.
Just by knowing where it should have been allocated. But HR departments are not trained in that. All that they're trained in is to give you your benefit.
Yeah. It isn't their job to do it.
Correct.
And yet that's often not offered up. There is no support offered to people.
Correct. So he was just so grateful, right? And that's something that we'll go back with him and we'll keep reevaluating and keep looking at with him. Because that's just a small piece to their puzzle, but nonetheless, an absolute game changer.
Yeah. That changes someone's life.
Yeah.
The skills and knowledge that you're giving them are literally life-changing.
Let me give you something that the listeners can take out of this. You asked, you know, what does that 1% do?
Mm-hmm.
So if you get one of these books, it's in this book, but there's a simple math equation called the Rule of 72. And this should be in every high school to be able to graduate. But it's a simple math equation where you're going to take the interest rate that you're getting and divide it by 72. And it's going to tell you how quickly your money will double for you.
Ooh, everybody wants to find that out.
Correct. Yes. So I'll give you an example. Trillions of dollars, majority of people's savings are sitting in traditional savings accounts, making less than 1%. If we took a 29-year-old that inherited $10,000 from her grandmother and put it into a traditional savings account, making 1%, it would take her till she was 101 for that money to double one time to $20,000.
It's a lot of sitting around.
Well, we have a couple of problems. She's probably not going to live till she's 101.
Right, we hope she does, but
and $20,000 is not going to do anything for her. No. But if we can show her where she could get 6%, it would take her 12 years for her money to double. So at 29, 10,000, by the time she's 65, there'd be 80,000.
Wow.
Unfortunately, that will probably get her through 1 year of retirement. But what if we could show her where she could get 12%? This is where the rule of 72 is insane. Yes. Same 29-year-old, same $10,000. By the time she's 71 years old, she would have over $1.2 million. The difference? She had financial education.
Ooh.
And that's profound.
That is a mic drop moment, but these mics are anchored to the table, so we can't drop them, ladies. But that really is, and the earlier that you get this education, obviously the compounding effect is greater.
Yeah.
But like you've said, it's never too late. You can make that shift as you did with the gentleman you worked with that, sure, there were some lost years, but with the information, he could make a big shift to at least start to catch up in that process.
Jamie changed that family's retirement and future, and that's the most important thing of what we do.
Yeah. So. Are people ever brought to tears?
Often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Often. In the beginning because they're scared, and in the end because they just can't believe that there's actually a solution.
And we want people crying with happiness and hope and not crying out of fear.
Correct.
So kudos to you for that work. Let's talk a little bit about life. You know, we said, okay, 101, if that young woman lived that long. Many of us, hopefully with technology, will get to live very long lives into our 100s with advances. But if something does happen to you in your lifetime, we want to be prepared to take care of our families. And people often think life insurance, this is for when I die. Not necessarily. Talk to us a little bit about that and how it can be taken advantage of while you are still living.
Yeah. What's crazy is for so many years, life insurance has got a bad rap because people feel like they outlive their life insurance, which, by the way, most people do. We don't want them to have to use their life insurance because it's meant for what if something happens when I'm younger or I leave my family behind. We don't want to leave those debts on the family. We don't want to leave that burial cost because now on a lower end, it's around $15,000 to bury someone. And what families have that money? We see GoFundMes all the time.
Yeah. That was yes.
Because so many people don't believe in life insurance. And also, they think it's 10 times more the cost than it actually is.
Say that again for our listeners.
Yeah. So most people think that life insurance costs 10 times the amount than it actually does.
So it actually is much more affordable than we believe it is.
Correct.
This is a good thing.
Correct. And then another answer that I get all the time is I have life insurance through my company. So let's just touch on that for a second. One, it's not enough. And we will show you why. It would cover your burial and maybe a little bit of your debt for the most part. Mm-hmm. And now you've left your wife and your children without a monthly income. And that is devastating to a family. If we can make sure that that financial stressor is taken away and let that family deal with the emotional stress, it's a game changer. And so we make sure that people are insured outside of their business insurance because what if that company lets you go tomorrow?
Yes. Yes.
Most people don't understand that that life insurance policy does not go with you.
Yeah, you
don't get to take it.
It disappears.
That is key.
It disappears. So let's talk about why life insurance has got such a bad rap. Like I said, because most of the time we outlive it. But there's a whole different side to life insurance that you can now use a living benefit on it. And what that means is if you get diagnosed with a chronic illness or you get into a car accident and you can't do daily activities, you can utilize that death benefit for while you're alive to replace what you're not able to bring into your household while you're recovering.
And I imagine that's a huge eye-opener for many because we think life insurance, we associate it's once I'm gone or a family member has passed, but you are able to use it while you were still around if something terrible happens. We don't want that, of course, but you want to have that in place.
Well, so let me use a very, very personal example that I'm dealing with right now, actually. I've been in the industry for 8 years, my husband 22. We've never, knock on wood, had to deliver a life insurance policy to any of our personal clients or the living benefit. Unfortunately, one of my best friends just got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I begged her for a few years to make sure that she had life insurance coverage, not just her husband, because she's a stay-at-home mom. She was like, I don't need life insurance coverage. He'll be fine. Well, they have 3 children under the ages of 9. And he took out $1.5 million in coverage on her. By the way, it was under $120 a month that they were paying into this life insurance policy. She's had it for about 4 years. She gets diagnosed with this cancer and has been given 6 months to live. I called the company, Transamerica, one of the best in the industry, and they could be giving her up to $1.4 million right now to help with the medical expenses
for recovery,
as well as helping the household while she can't take care of those kids or take her kids on a vacation or whatever they want to use it for. But that has been a massive change. And she called me crying because it lifted such a stressor off of her that she had been praying for.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important to have life insurance and living benefits.
Incredible. Ladies, thank you both so much. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with both Bronwyn and with Jamie for more insights. I'm hungry for more. So we'll chat more, ladies.
Thank you.